to revise some of his earlier works on Japanese cultural identity, most especially those concerning the influence of Zen Buddhism on the Japanese martial traditions. Zen and Japanese culture, however, remains as it was originally written. It remains a brilliant and seminal work on Zen Buddhism from a scholar of immense breadth and depth. Before I proceed to discuss the influence of Zen on Japanese culture, I must explain something of what Zen is. Briefly, Zen is one of the products of the Chinese mind after its contact with Indian thought, which came to China in the 1st century AD through the medium of Buddhist teachings. There were some aspects of Buddhism in the form in which it came to China that the people of the Middle Kingdom did not appreciate. For instance, its advocacy of a homeless life, its transcendentalism or world-fleeing and life-denying tendency, and so on. At the same time, its profound philosophy, its subtle dialectics and penetrating analyses and speculations stirred Chinese thinkers, especially the Taoists. Compared with Indians, the Chinese people are not so very philosophically minded. They are rather practical and devoted to worldly affairs. They are attached to the earth. They are not stargazers. While the Chinese mind was profoundly stimulated by the Indian way of thinking, it never lost its touch with the plurality of things. It never neglected the practical side of our daily life. This national or racial psychological idiosyncrasy brought about the transformation of Indian Buddhism into Zen Buddhism. One of the first things Zen accomplished in China as soon as it had gathered its forces and was strong enough to stand by itself was to establish a special form of monasticism quite distinct from the older kind of monkish living. The Zen monastery became a self-governing body divided into so many departments, each of which had its own office to serve the community. A noteworthy feature of this institution was the principle of complete democracy. While the elders were naturally respected, all members were equally to engage in manual labor, such as gathering fuel, cultivating the land, and picking tea leaves. In this, even the master himself joined, and while working with his brotherhood, he guided them to the proper understanding of Zen. This way of living significantly distinguished the Zen monastery from the Sangha brotherhood of the earlier Buddhists of India. The Zen monks were not only democratic, they were willing to employ themselves in all the practical ways of life. They were thus economically minded as well as politically minded. In metaphysics, Zen absorbed much of Taoist teachings modified by Buddhist speculations. But in its practical conduct of life, it completely ignored both the Taoist transcendentalism and the Indian aloofness from productive life. When a Zen master was asked what his future life would be, he unhesitatingly answered, "Let me be a donkey or a horse and work for the villagers." Another departure from the older pattern of monkish brotherhood, whether Christian or Buddhist or anything else, was that the Zen monks were not always engaged in offering prayers, practicing penance, or performing other so-called deeds of piety, nor in reading or reciting the canonical books, discussing their contents, or studying them under the master individually or collectively. What the Zen monks did, besides attending to various practical affairs, both manual and menial, was to listen to the master's occasional sermons, which were short and cryptic, and to ask questions and get answers. The answers, however, were bizarre and full of incomprehensibles, and they were quite frequently accompanied by direct actions. I will cite one of such examples, perhaps an extreme one. Though it did not take place between master and monk, but between monks themselves, it will illustrate the spirit of Zen which prevailed in its earlier days toward the end of the Tang Dynasty in the 9th century. A monk coming out of the monastery that was under the leadership of Rinzai met a party of three traveling monks belonging to another Buddhist school, and one of the three ventured to question the Zen monk, "How deep is the river of Zen?" The reference to the river arose from their encounter taking place on a bridge. The Zen monk, fresh from his own interview with Rinzai, who was noted for his direct action, lost no time in replying. "Find out for yourself," he said, and offered to throw the questioner from the bridge. But fortunately, his two friends interceded and pleaded for mercy, which saved the situation. Zen is not necessarily against words, but it is well aware of the fact that they are always liable to